Today is Sunday, June 21st, 2015, and this...
I know Las Vegas already have a Caesar Palace. But tonight, this is going to be the Caesar Palace for dogs.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 507.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. We're back from our week off.
Mm-hmm. We had a good time.
We did. We went to Las Vegas, which we sometimes do on our weeks off. Not always. Whenever we go away now, or I should say whenever we take a week off, everyone assumes that's where we are.
Not necessarily.
Sometimes correct, sometimes incorrect. This week, correct. It was a good time. Just a quick trip. We were only there for, well, 4 nights, which is short for us.
Right.
But it was really... You know, we went in
just
late one day.
Action-packed and fun.
It was. It was kind of a late thing. Usually we plan these things out well in advance. This one was a much shorter time. We didn't have a lot of lead-up time. Last-minute decision. But our friends from Vegas Tripping were going to be there, and we said, yes, we must join them.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to hang out with some friends, and it was lots of fun. And we'll be talking about it extensively, probably mostly on next week's show.
I feel bad because a couple people have... mentioned that they always look forward to the shows right after we get back from vacation because we do the rundown of the trip.
I know. It's usually...
I'm worried we're setting them up for disappointment.
It's often delayed, though, because we got to get caught up on news.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things to talk about. We might get into it a little bit here, but...
We'll see.
We'll see where the show takes us. Before we get into the news, and there's a lot of it this week, I want to announce... I don't know. Should we do the announcement now or should we do it later in the show? The VIMF announcement.
Let's do it now.
Okay.
You already mentioned it.
I know, but sometimes it's nice to...
To tease people?
Yes. But we're teasing them for next week's show, I guess.
Exactly.
So. Okay.
I figured if we don't get to the stuff from the trip, at least they'll have this to tie them over.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, as you probably know if you've been listening to the show, is an annual event that we participate in with our friends from Vegas Tripping and Vegas Gang. We do our show live. Vegas Gang does their show live. Vegas Tripping does a match game. And all kinds of fun is had. And there's all kinds of other events throughout the weekend. Some of them this year are going to be new events,
mm-hmm.
and we're announcing one this week, now, on the show, right now, at this very moment.
You're announcing it because I barely know the details.
I barely know the details. There's not that many yet, but it doesn't matter. The details that we have are exciting and fun. Okay,
would you say they're titillating?
Maybe to some people. They will be when it occurs. All right, so here's the deal. One of the new events at this year's Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic... At 11:59 p.m. on October 16th, the first day of the event.
Is that Friday?
That is Friday.
Okay.
We'll be having our first ever, and probably last ever, 5 Hun Dog Eating Contest. It's going to be held at American Coney, and it's going to be a good time. You and I will be judging it. I'm not sure if we'll have other judges or not, but we will be judging it. And unlike most eating competitions, usually you think hot dog eating competition... It's all about how many you can cram down in
all about quantity.
3 minutes or something.
No, this is about quality.
This is quality and style. That's how this will be judged. So it's not about quantity. It's all about...
How you eat the dog.
Entertaining us, mainly. So this is going to be a really good time. As far as details on being part of this event, we'll have that stuff later on. But we wanted to announce the event at this point and let people know it's coming up and make your plans to be there. Should be interesting to see how many people we can fit in American Coney. It's not the hugest space.
It's not the largest, right.
But we're going to pack it full of nutty listeners and people wanting to dazzle us with their hot dog eating skills. And it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to our commentary throughout the event.
Yeah.
That should be fun. I don't think we can have booze in there.
Oh, well, we can have booze before and
after.
Oh,
we'll have, yeah,
which is also a song by the Smithereens.
We will move directly from Long Bar into American Coney for the eating competition. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great time. So please join us. If you're proud of the manner in which you eat hot dogs, or you've been pondering some, now you have several months to ponder how you might.
To work on your technique for hot dog eating.
Yep. And I think you guys know us well enough to know the kind of things that are going to make us, you know, vote for you. There may be prizes. We'll see. We'll see how this unfolds. I've got an idea or two. So this is going to be big fun. And we're going to have, there's going to be a lot of other VIMF announcements coming up too. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to this show and to Vegas Gang, to Vegas Tripping. Of course, you can get all the information at VegasInternetMafia.com. The schedule is coming together. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Hope you can make it. Okay. So, tons and tons of news to get caught up on. Let's start with some sad news. Kind of. It's kind of sad news. Deaths are always sad. Mm-hmm. But when you live to be 98, it's hard to be sad about that. That's a good run. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Kerkorian, the legendary Las Vegas casino owner and developer, died on June 15th. It was a tremendous run, 98 years. I'm going to link in the show notes to a really, really good article that Dr. Dave wrote for Vegas 7, talking about how important Kirk Kerkorian is and was to the development of Las Vegas and the many, many different things he did. Some quick highlights, so in case you're not familiar with who this guy is, if you don't follow the development and ownership of hotels and casinos in Las Vegas, he, at one point or another, pretty much owned the entire strip, it seems like, and other things too. He built the International, which of course went on to become Las Vegas Hilton and now Westgate. He at one point bought Flamingo. He then sold Flamingo and the International to Hilton Corporation and built MGM Grand, which is now Bally's. He sold that to Bally's, of course. That's why it became Bally's. He then bought Sands and Desert Inn. He built MGM Grand, the current MGM Grand. He
the Green Monster.
Yep. He bought New York, New York. He's responsible for the mergers with Mirage and Mandalay Group, which pretty much created, you know, one of the two behemoth mm-hmm. resort companies in Las Vegas, MGM Resorts. You look at all this stuff that he had his hands on, and it really is like, oh, that's like half of the strip, at more than half of the strip that he owned at one point or another. Just remarkable. Built some of the largest hotels in the world. And
not all at the same time. He didn't own them all at the same time. But no. If you add it up, then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was aware of the MGM Grand and MGM Resort stuff, but I didn't know. I wasn't as familiar with some of the other stuff.
It's a rich history. And yeah, so always sad to see a Las Vegas legend go. I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard anything about dimming the lights on the strip in honor of him, which you would think someone of that magnitude, they would do that. But I haven't heard anything whether that's going to happen or not. Hmm. I think they should. I mean, this is a big, you know, big time, somebody who's way, way responsible for what the strip looks like.
Right.
What it has become. And you would think that they would do that, given some of the other times that they've dimmed it. They dimmed it for the basketball coach from UNLV, which great guy and all that, but
yeah. But if you're going to dim it for him, then
he had nothing. He had nothing to do with the Las Vegas Strip. Yes, I get it that he meant a lot to Las Vegas, and that's great. But as far as the strip, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of that decision. But for this one, I think yes, Kirk Kerkorian should be memorialized with a dimming of the lights. So whether or not that'll happen, we'll see. But if you haven't read the article that Dr. Dave wrote, I certainly recommend it. And like I said, I will link to it in the show notes. It's fantastic. And always sad to see a legend go, but 98, hell of a run. So there you have it. There's no way to segue to this next story.
No.
Las Vegas Club. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that Las Vegas Club was going in front of the city government to try to get a packaged liquor license. And they indeed did get approval from the Planning Commission for that. They had to do a little bit of adjusting of their plans to get within the square footage and percentages of how much space would be, blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of the first step toward turning half of Las Vegas Club into a fucking drugstore. Yay. Yippee. Just what we need. No word on timing of construction or anything like that. I think they had to go through this before they finalized a deal with CVS.
I thought this wasn't likely to go through.
Well, the staff was recommending
against it,
but when they said, well, we'll adjust our floor plan so that we fall within the parameters of the law, then they said, okay, that's fine. There was some protest. These meetings, there's a woman on the planning commission who appears, based on what I saw, to be cuckoo. She's like, so, and keep in mind, they got all kinds of material on this. She's like, so let me make sure I get this straight. This is Lady Luck, right?
What? No.
And they're like, no, this is Las Vegas Club. Okay, so this is being done so that people staying there at the hotel won't have to run to another liquor store. They can just get cheap liquor in the gift shop and then go up to their rooms.
Nope.
And
the hotel's
closed. And the guy who's representing Las Vegas Club is like, yeah. I mean, he didn't even like bother to explain it to her. He's like, yeah, that's pretty much what. Well, if this keeps people off from driving to get liquor, I'm to be able to just get it right there at the hotel. And it's like, lady, the fucking hotel has been closed for 2 years. It's not Lady Luck. She clearly hasn't been downtown Las Vegas in like 2 decades. And that's who's making the decisions.
Awesome.
So she voted for it, even though she clearly had no understanding of it. Anyway, it sounds like it's going to happen. Like I said, no word on when they're going to start working on it and turning it into a CVS, but it's almost for sure going to happen at this point. Yeah, so that's necessary. The sister property to Las Vegas Club made a small change. You may recall that they have a bar there right next to, and feels like it's part of the food court. It's called Beer Garden, or at least it was. They've changed the name of Beer Garden, and that was spelled B-I-E-R-G-A-R-T-E-N, German, kind of a German thing.
Yep.
They've changed it because apparently that was too exotic and confusing. It's now called Beer Garden.
Oh.
They want the traditional spellings of beer and garden. So I would expect the place will now be packed.
Yes, it'll be bustling.
Yeah. If you look at the Beer Garden website, they changed the name in about a third of the locations. So now it just looks sloppy and unprofessional. And that's what you would expect from the fine folks at Plaza at this point. So big news there, the big name change. At some point, maybe I'll get around to changing it on FremontStreetBars.com, but maybe I'll wait until all of the things are changed on their actual website before I do that.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah, I know. There is a new bar on, I know this is shocking, a new bar on Fremont Street.
You're not going to play the song?
Oh, shit, I forgot it. No, I'm not, because I'm, no.
Because you're lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't feel like it.
I just forgot to cue it up. Oh. Yes, Fremont Street has a new bar, according to DTLV.com. This is exciting. Speakeasies are all the rage. And this is a new speakeasy.
Mm.
It's part of and located behind Radio City Pizzeria. Hopefully the bar is better than the restaurant, which we kind of didn't have a great.
I wanted to. Yeah, I think I said this at the time. I really wanted to like it.
It was disappointing.
Yeah.
But this sounds like a cool thing because not only is it a speakeasy, but it's outdoors. And outdoor drinking is always fun. Well, except for when it's 1,000 degrees.
Or if you're in the beer garden.
At night outside Las Vegas. Why not? So you can access, it's called Retroshena. Is that what it's called? Yes. That's how you pronounce it. You can access it through the restaurant until 11 p.m. And then after that, between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., you can access it from outdoors. You have to go through the alley.
Is the alley sketchy?
It's that really short alley. It's right next to Park.
Oh, okay.
So you just walk back there. It used to be a storage space, apparently, and they've made it nice and spiffy.
They've decided we can profit from this storage space instead of just storing things here.
I remember looking out the door at that when we went to Radio City, I think the first time, and it was just like they had all just chairs stacked back there. It was kind of gross. So now it's a nice little courtyard. It seats about 50 people. They're going to focus on fresh cocktails. I think they will have food back there as well, but it's mainly a cocktail bar. And yeah,
you like cocktails?
We do. We'll have to check this out next time we're in Las Vegas. So many things in downtown opened like right after we were downtown during our trip.
Yeah,
like the day after
we left downtown.
Yeah,
and we were too lazy to go back.
Yeah, we were downtown for the first two nights of our trip, and then we moved to the Strip for two nights. And right after we moved downtown, the other things that opened. Now this Retroshena just opened this weekend, so we would have missed that. But The things that opened on Monday were Therapy, which is the former dollar store space. It's now a restaurant and bar. And they were hauling furniture in when we were there, and I looked in. It looks like a very nice space. I'm interested to check this out.
Have you seen their menu or anything?
I have not looked at the menu yet, no. Siegel 1941, which is the new restaurant at El Cortez, that opened.
We have seen that menu.
Yes, we scoped that out. I posted some pictures on our Facebook group before it opened. So that's kind of a combination of, it's like they merged the old Flame Steakhouse and the coffee shop into one restaurant.
I'm curious how that's going to do.
We have a review later in the show.
Oh, good.
From one of our friends and listeners. Little disappointed in the menu, though.
Yeah.
It was a little...
No pancakes.
The breakfast list was very small.
No pancakes.
No pancakes, and that's a
delicious...
That's
problematic for me.
A delicious breakfast item. Now it's gone.
I was a huge fan of the El Cortez coffee shop.
I know.
Pancakes.
Yeah, so I am curious how this will be received amongst longtime El Cortez fans, because I think they'll be disappointed, but we will see.
I'll be back.
Want to take care of boxer number two? Finally, another restaurant that just opened is Zydeco Po' Boys, and that is a restaurant on Carson, right next to the other new restaurants, Glutton and Vegination. Those just opened a few weeks ago, and now the third of those is open, and we have a review of that as well. So, from one of our listeners, that will be coming up later in the show. That one, I think I want to try that one.
Cool.
So, yeah, good stuff. Lots of new, fun, exciting things happening downtown, and it's always good to have new restaurants down there. On the Strip, there's a new restaurant. We could have tried this one. This was open.
No, we couldn't have.
Yes, just days after opening its new tequila bar, Bally's also opened Buca Cafe. It's in the former Sidewalk Cafe location. If you're a fan of the mediocre Italian food served by Buca. It's not, I think it's different. Like, normally Buca di Beppo is a big family style thing. I think this is more like individual portions, but I might be wrong on that. The twist here is that they do have a buffet.
Oh, good.
So Bally's hasn't had a buffet other than the Sterling Buffet on Sundays.
For a while. They used to have that buffet on the second floor.
Yeah, that was,
that's been
that
closed
was
for years.
Years, though. So this is their, this is as close as you're going to get to a Bally's buffet, I guess. And it looks like for breakfast, they have normal breakfast items and stuff. It's not just like the Italian shit that Buca serves. So it's cheap for buffet. It's $12 for breakfast or for lunch, $19 for dinner. Might not be a bad option if you're just looking for a breakfast buffet. I don't know.
I'm not going to try it and see.
I don't think I will either. If you're interested in seeing what they have menus on the Bally's website for the non-buffet items. You can check out the pricing and all that stuff. But
will they be microwaving things and then putting them under heat lamps?
Yeah, I don't know. As you can tell, we're not big fans of
Buca. That is what their food tastes like to me. Here, take a Lean Cuisine, slap it in the microwave.
Is it one step up or one step down or even with like Olive Garden quality?
I don't know.
Probably pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
It's not good. Like, if you're into like good Italian food, if you're Italian, you're not going to eat at Buca.
Right.
It's not like Rao's or somewhere like that. And of course, you're paying a lot less too, but it's not...
If you like it, go for it. Yeah. I will not be in front of you in line impeding your way.
Awesome. Alrighty. More restaurant and bar news.
I fucking hate Buca.
You are on the record as fucking hating Buca.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Down the street at Mandalay Bay, there's some news. The floundering bourbon and burlesque, 1923 bourbon and burlesque, is changing formats, kind of. The burlesque part is gone. Johnny Katz reported on this on Twitter when it happened a couple weeks ago. The space is now only open Fridays and Saturdays, and it's known as 1923 Bourbon Bar. Again, going for more of the speakeasy thing, but they've dumped the burlesque part. So they had, I think they had like high hopes for it when Holly Madison was involved, and then she dropped out, and then they just said, nah, fuck it, let's just be a bar on weekends.
Well, I remember our friends from Denton, Dallas, and Beyond tried to go there, and there was a mix-up on hours. It was supposed to be open at a certain time, and they showed up, and they weren't open, and it was just...
Yeah, I don't think it did really well. I won't be surprised if even the bourbon bar only lasts. I'm guessing it's a placeholder until they figure out what to put in there long-term.
Yeah, if you have something that's open...
Two nights a week?
Right.
Yeah.
Like the mob bar situation at Downtown Grand,
yeah,
where they just kept scaling back, and finally, poof, it was gone.
Tis true. We got a few more details on Book and Stage at Cosmopolitan and its upcoming closure, which we reported on last show. At this point, the plan is to close it after the 4th of July, so that'll be coming up in just a couple weeks. It will then be closed for approximately 2 months, although you never know with construction how long these things are really going to take. And then it will reopen as a lounge of some sort. No word yet on what the name of that is. There are a lot of Cosmo rumors right now amongst employees. I was talking to some bartenders. And,
as you do.
As I will do, and asking, you know, what was going on with the new owners. And they seem to be excited about the new ownership because they're pumping some money into it and they're doing some different things. One of the rumors, whether or not this happens, I do not know, is that the sports book will be moving down from the second floor to the casino floor, somewhere near the strip entrance. I'm guessing maybe a build-out of the Lucky Cat space that used to be a video game arcade, and they've done all kinds of different shit with it, and none of them have... It was a wedding chapel for 6 months or something.
Yeah.
I could see them using that and maybe opening it up and using some of that casino floor space around there, because really... That's kind of a dead zone. I was playing slots back there one day, and there's really not a lot of activity in that corner. So I wouldn't be surprised if they use a bunch of that space. But who knows? It's just speculation at this point, but it seems to make sense. The sports book there is not great, and having it on the casino floor would certainly make some sense. So time will tell whether or not that happens. But keep an eye out for other changes at Cosmopolitan as the new owners get their fingers into everything and figure out what's making money and what's not. And are you amused by getting their fingers into everything?
Sure.
All right. Real quick note on a new restaurant at Venetian in the Grand Canal Shops, Anchor Bar. It is the inventor of Buffalo Wings. They are opening a location, or they have opened a location at Venetian. There was a discussion about this on our Facebook group when it was announced maybe a month or two ago, and people from Buffalo said, yeah, they might have invented it, but their wings aren't very good. That seemed to be the consensus. So, you know, if you're all about who's the originator, yeah, that's great, but you can probably find better wings elsewhere. But, you know, if you go, give us a review. We'd love to hear about it. I'm not a big chicken wing guy.
No.
Eh, they're fine. They're messy, but I don't think they're really that... They're...
A couple times a year.
That's about it.
I'll get a craving for them.
Yeah.
And it just hits the spot then.
Yeah.
But it's not something like...
It's not an ongoing desire.
No. Whenever... We go to our local bar to order.
We've never had them there, have we?
No, we haven't.
No. Yeah, I don't know why. They're fine, but yeah. People love the wings, though. Aren't they like extremely bad for you?
Probably.
They're like one of the worst foods you can eat. Not that that would stop me by any means. I mean, I'm just wondering. This is some sad news. Moving on to our next item. Very, very popular happy hour at the relatively new Bardot Brasserie at Aria. They have removed the food items from their happy hour menu. So now it's just a beverage happy hour,
That's a cocktail bad. And
beer happy hour.
I liked their food. It was delicious.
Everyone did, and it was a good deal. And people are bummed because I think...
It wasn't extremely filling, but it was a nice snack.
It was. So...
They were tasty.
Thanks to listener Grant for reporting on this on our Facebook group. We were bummed to hear about it, and I know that many of you will be as well, because in the short time that's been open, it has become a very popular happy hour. Boo. Boo for removing good things, I say.
So have they expanded their drink specials? Because wasn't it just beer, wine, and their cocktail
of the day? Yeah, I looked at the menu. I scanned it. I think they might have had a couple different things on there, but I kind of was like, man, I don't care. I'm not going to go out of my way for it now. So,
yeah, it is a little out of the way, too.
Yeah, there's enough other drink specials in a more convenient location that I'm not going to go there just for that. So fuck you, Bardot Brasserie. Until you decide to bring your food back, you are dead to me. Well, they still have food. It's just not happy hour food.
Yeah.
Just not the specials. But I don't know. I don't foresee myself going there anytime soon, even though it was lovely.
Yes.
There's a new restaurant at Palm's Place. It's located on the 6th floor. We don't talk about Palm's Place very often. It's that adjacent tower to Palm's. And the former Simon Kitchen space is now being used by something called Cafe 6. It looks like a kind of a typical... typical like American diner cafe thing. Burgers and sandwiches, salads. The dessert menu looks really good. They've got some delicious like shakes and things like that. But I don't, again, we don't really get over to Palms that often. But I thought I'd mention this just because Simon Kitchen was very, very popular. And people might be wondering what's going on with that since it closed.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Cafe Six. Wasn't that a movie with a bunch of Prince music?
Girl Six.
Oh, that was Girl Six. That's right.
I thought you were going to say it was a side project.
It was a horrible movie.
Vanity Six, Cafe Six.
Yeah. Bunch of entertainment, a couple entertainment notes before we move along. The show at Venetian. What is going on with him?
I don't know.
Sorry about our dog. The Franks.
He's just barking at everything today.
The Franks.
Everything.
Well.
A speck of dust.
Dude, shut the fuck up. You can let Zoe out if you want. Okay. The Frank Sinatra tribute show, Frank, the Man, the Music, has been extended through the end of the year. I'm glad to hear this because, you know, Sinatra music is great and belongs in Las Vegas. And also, this is one of those shows that we talked about that has a big cast. It has a lot of musicians. It's putting a lot of people to work. And you like to have those shows that are, you know, lots of musicians performing live music and not just like lip sync show. So happy to hear that's going to be around for a little bit longer. There is a legendary Las Vegas. Oh my God, the dogs!
They're gonna wrestle now.
A legendary Las Vegas, longtime legendary Las Vegas performer is coming back. He's been gone for a few months at least. Rich Little is returning to Las Vegas. He's going to be performing at the Laugh Factory Tropicana. I'm not sure if this is another pre-Broadway appearance. You may recall a couple of years ago he had a show at that was either Riviera or the Hilton, and they were promoting it as a pre-Broadway appearance,
mm-hmm.
which one of our listeners. I believe BC pointed out that technically isn't every performance a pre-Broadway performance until it's been on Broadway.
Right.
So I would say this is, I don't believe Rich Little has performed on Broadway yet, so I think this is yet another pre-Broadway appearance. This podcast, by the way, is still in its pre-Broadway appearance stage mm-hmm. as well. July 14th through the 23rd, tickets start at $40 if you want to see somebody who's doing a bunch of impressions of people who died 30 years ago. Rich Little is your guy. The list is just like, yeah. I guess
it's not current.
Well, Ronald Reagan's been dead for a long time, mm-hmm. and he's top of the list. So,
but so he has somebody in the next story.
Yes, but he appeals to a certain generation. So, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robin Leach had a huge. Robin Leach, of course, always has breaking news items that are huge exclusives, and the one that he had about a week and a half ago was quite remarkable. I'm sorry about the dogs, you guys. Robin Leach reported on Twitter that former Sex Pistols bassist Sid Vicious would be performing at Omnia at Caesar's Palace in August. The reason this is so remarkable, if you're not familiar with Sid Vicious, is that he died in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job, Robin Leach.
And even if he were still alive, that would not be his scene.
No. Yeah. So Robin Leach is doing a tremendous job, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's a DJ or something using the name Sid Vicious, but he specifically reported Sex Pistols bassist.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious would be performing. So way to go.
I'm glad you got a screenshot of that before he deleted it.
Well, he changed it. Then he changed it to that there would be a tribute to Sex Pistols bassist Sid Vicious.
No.
Still wrong.
No.
And then he said he was so confused.
Yes, yeah. That is accurate.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I had to use my Fremont Street Bars Twitter account to see all this stuff because he blocked me a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
as he has, like, many of our listeners who call him out on his shit that he's constantly wrong on. All right, finally, one more news item. Johnny Katz also reports this one. Wayne Newton's home, Casa de Shenandoah, is close to being ready for its debut as a tourist destination. This has been an on-again, off-again thing for years, and it's changed ownership, and there's been legal battles and all kinds of stuff. Apparently, it's very close to finally becoming reality sometime this summer. Would you guys shut the fuck up?
It's not as bad as him barking.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
So professional. Visitors to Casa de Shenandoah will see Wayne's private jet, car collection, memorabilia, and Arabian horses. It's going to be amazing. I have no idea how much it's going to cost. They haven't announced all the details, but you can check out the scoop at casadeshenandoah.com. I'll try to remember to link to it in the show notes.
It sounds interesting, although it's a bit out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, this would be probably a one-time thing. I bet they'll have shuttle buses from somewhere,
yeah.
I'm guessing, or a hotel pickup or something. I'd consider seeing the Wainers home.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll prepare pasta for everyone. So there you have it. That's coming this summer, and hooray for Wayne. Wayne hasn't tried to mount a comeback in a while. I think he finally gave up on his voice.
Oh.
I think it's probably better. He wasn't sounding too good for the last several years there when he was performing.
Well, it's a shame that his voice has gone.
It's true. All right. Well, since this show is going so well, let's talk about our sponsors, Viator.
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. One of the many, many great things about Viator is that they have activities to meet just about any budget. I was looking at just a random city, as I will periodically do, and that city was Washington, D.C., and you can see, like, this huge spectrum of price ranges. So whether you're on a tight budget for a trip or you have a little bit more money to spend, you can find something, often many things, to make your trip awesome and exciting and different. A couple examples in D.C., they have trolley tours at night. Mm-hmm. For starting at just like $39. They have a Lincoln assassination walking tour, so you can see sites. I'm sure it's very uplifting. Sites from Lincoln's final hours. Again, that's just $39. Pretty cheap. You know, when you get a tour for under $40, that's a pretty good deal anywhere. If you have a little bit more money to spend, they have some Viator exclusives. There's a Washington Monument reserved admission package that has DC landmarks and memorials as part of the tour. Starts at $64. No waiting in line for that one. I'm always willing to pay a few extra bucks to not have to wait in line. Sign me up.
You're not a patient guy.
Not when it comes to that kind of stuff. Just especially when you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than spending valuable hours waiting in line.
Or walking behind moseyers.
Or that. So they don't have a no mosey pass. There's no really guarantee of that, but
that would be nice.
You can get out of How would that work? Would you like if you
they
have
issue
the pass,
you cattle prods and you can just zap people at will?
I'd do that definitely. They have a Viator VIP Best of DC package with U.S. Capitol and National Archives reserved access, plus memorials. Plus you get to see the outside part of the White House. You get lunch on the Potomac River. That one's got all kinds of stuff. It's $125. Many, many, many good deals, like I said, fit for any budget and just about any location, regardless of where you're going. If you have a vacation coming up and you want to make it awesome, check out Viator.com. They have great experiences, prices. They have guaranteed deals. They love the show. We love them. You love us. You love them. Viator.com is the place to go. You can download their iPad, iPhone, and Android apps. Of course, as always, we'd love for you to use the link at 500bymidnight.com before booking with Viator.com. And thanks, as always, to Viator for being a longtime sponsor and supporter of this show. It means a lot to us.
The dogs are wrestling on my microphone stand.
That's not helpful.
No.
Wow.
And here's what's going to happen. Max is messing with Zoe.
No.
Well, he wants to use the mixing board as a chew toy now.
That's all I need is him chewing on the microphone cables. Oh, my God.
Yeah. She just wants to rest, and at some point, she's going to snap and tell him to back the fuck off.
All right. This is a dog-filled show. I guess that intro that we used was quite appropriate this week. All right. Our Facebook group discussion of the week, before we get into phone calls, is a June 11th post from James, and he was wondering what your first bet in Las Vegas was. He put that out, and people chimed in with the first slot machine they played or first table game bet they made. I have no idea.
I don't either. It's probably some random slot in Excalibur somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it was something extremely stupid, and I'm sure I lost the money.
I'm sure it was cheap, too, like a nickel slot.
I feel like that's one of those things I should have a memory of, and yet I don't.
Yeah.
But I like reading about other people's first bets. So I will link to that in the show notes, of course, as well, and you can chime in if you have not done so already, if you're so inclined. All right, phone calls. Let's start off with Richard.
500. It's Richard from Toronto. After a week of getting my ass kicked at the gambling tables and at White Castle, I finally found a hidden gem. Le Thai downtown. I believe you were there on your last trip, but I decided
Delicious.
To try it. And I had the short ribs with Thai rice.
As did I.
Meal. I didn't know what to get. The waitress recommended it to me, and it's a fantastic dish. I highly recommend it. The price is unbelievable at Le Thai. And so that's basically my sad trip report for this time, but I will be back. Can't wait for Vince in October, and I hope you and everyone else have a great day. Bye.
All right. Glad you discovered Le Thai as well.
Yes.
It's a lovely restaurant. delicious food. Yes, I had that same item last time we were there, and that was also on recommendation, and I enjoyed it, and I would have it again. All right.
Very good food.
Yes, that's Fremont East Restaurant for anyone who is interested in that.
You do have to be aware of what time you're going, though, because the lines can get really long.
They do get busy.
Go at an off time.
And now it probably wouldn't be quite as conducive to eat outside, although right. I think they do have a little bit of shade there. I'd rather be inside, I think. Mm-hmm. Summer months,
They
you
do
know.
Have the patio in the back that's completely shaded.
Was that? That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Is that completely?
Yeah, but they do. They did have a few spots out front that...
No.
Nope.
No. Okay. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Sean Smith. Just checking back in again from our trip. Had a great day yesterday. Ended up going to Hex at Paris for breakfast. And I had the Egg Benedict. My wife had like a Mexican flavor inspired egg omelet type of deal. And it was all good. Egg omelet, I guess eggs are always going to be an omelet, but it had some tortilla in it and some chicken, and it was really good. Ended up doing a pool day as well, hung out by the pool most of the day. It was a really beautiful day to be out here. Continually, we are disappointed with the service at Caesars. Probably won't be staying here again. I mean, the room's beautiful and, you know, nice facility, but just... You know, there's just not enough staff, and they don't seem to really care that much. Went downtown last night, had dinner at Pizza Rock, and it was awesome. Had a $3, 32-ounce PBR, and it was just a great experience. Hung a lot at the downtown Grand and the D, and was really impressed with downtown Grand. We really liked it. In fact, we kind of have made the decision that when we come back, we're probably going to do a downtown stay. We've never stayed downtown before. We've been on the Strip, but it's been a number of years since we've been back, and super happy with downtown. In fact, we have reservations tonight at Heritage Steakhouse, at Tom Colicchio's place at the Mirage. Otherwise, if we didn't, and we would probably be going downtown again just because we enjoyed it so much. But we'll save the trip back and stay there. So I think that's the check-in from day two. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. I will confirm that walking by Hex at Paris, it still smells like chocolate-dipped sweaty man sack. It's not a good smell outside of there.
No.
Since he brought up Downtown Grand, do you want to talk a little bit about... We spent a little bit of time there during our trip. The cheap gambling remains.
Yes.
We played outside, which was fun. Didn't last long.
No.
But
the cards were not in our favor.
They were not. But $5, 3-2 blackjack outside on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, and there were plenty of seats available. They had, I don't know, how many tables did they have? Do you remember? Was it just two or three?
I want to say it was...
I don't remember.
I don't know. I want to say three, but I could be wrong. I do not remember either.
I was happy to see that they had good rules, low limits. So that was fun. They're trying.
Would have been more fun if we would have won, but
that's not always in the cards, right.
so to speak.
I played a little bit inside as well on some machines. I had some free play there and didn't really do much. But it was a little bit busier, but it was still not as busy as the competing casinos down the street on Fremont.
Right. And then they had that drawing going on. Was it for a cruise or something?
Some sort of cruise themed promotion. And it was just like sad, like somebody from the casino just like reading out names and
trying to pretend they're on the Love Boat.
Nobody responding. Yeah, it was awkward.
It was weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else I'll talk about? I ate at the commissary, but I'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
I guess.
This trip was weird for us because. So we stayed downtown for a couple nights, and then we moved to the Strip. And sometimes when you move to the Strip, you still find yourself gravitating back downtown. And
yeah, it didn't happen this time.
Yeah.
I think just because, I don't know. I don't know why that was.
Yeah.
It was good, though. I was happy to spend some time on the Strip. I kind of like splitting it up. And I had fun in both locations, so it was cool. All right, let's move along with another phone call.
Nothing says Las Vegas like shotgunning a Gatorade at 1:40 in the morning.
I could see that. I did not do that. We did, however, have some coconut water, after our first night in Las Vegas to try to recover.
Yes, that was necessary.
That stuff works. It helps. Rehydrates for sure. So yes, taking care of yourself with some Gatorade before bed is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. Electrolytes.
That was our friend Mark from Colorado who we'll be hearing from later. We had fun hanging out with him.
He's awesome.
All right. Next step.
Hey, Tim. This is Matt from California. Just got back from a quick little overnight trip from Oakland. Quick thing before I call back for a full trip report. I love the D. I stay there every time.
Hey, no.
I still will stay there every time. But damn, do their elevators suck still. Their elevator bank is supposed to open in a month, they said. I still don't believe them. I don't see any progress. Three times during our trip, the freight elevator, their elevator is apparently overheated. And it was only 90 degrees. So I can't wait to see what happens when it reaches triple digits. Anyway, quick call there. I'm going to call back with all the positive trip reports in a bit. Had a great trip. All right. Good night.
Yes, that's a constant source of frustration for guests and employees at the D.
Mm-hmm.
And on Periscope on Friday, sometime last couple days, Derek was doing one of his walkthroughs of the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that one of the new elevators was supposed to open this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. And then there will be another one coming later on.
Good.
So I would think having new elevators should alleviate some of that, because even if the old ones go out, at least the new ones should be
able to pick up much faster.
But I know that they're very frustrated with that too. So hopefully that will help.
Yeah. Speaking of things going out during the heat, you were playing a slot machine at Golden Gate and you had just hit a
nice little jackpot.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
$90.
Yeah. And it just all of a sudden the reel started spinning.
Yep.
Went into tilt mode. I'm going to confess, I didn't tell you this, but I went back and played that same machine the next morning and the same thing happened.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was like, that was a good machine. I'm going to play it again, even though I knew it was going to do that.
Yeah.
And it did. And the woman who came that time, and it took forever to reset both times, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, because the woman came over and started resetting it, and it just kept spinning and spinning and
then
spinning.
Finally reset. Yeah. But she said that those all three machines there, they're three older machines, and all three of those do that when it gets pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe they'll replace those with some of the Riviera machines. I think it's time for them to go. But
even though you made money on one of them,
I know I actually played all three of them that morning, and I was like, that was the last of the three for me to play. And I was like, oh, I don't know, it's probably going to go into tilt mode, and it took like 2 minutes. I got like 10 spins out of it, and the thing went.
Did you win anything on it that morning or no?
No.
Oh.
I did not. Wah, wah. I'm the fool. Okay. As I mentioned, some reviews of some new places downtown from our friend Rue.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Rue from Denton, Texas, calling in with a trip report. Made it over to Zydeco Pole Boys out there on Carson Street. I have to say, man, that was a really good experience for me. The place is beautiful. The staff was real friendly in there, and the food was actually pretty spot on. The guy, Brandon Trahan, is a South Louisiana guy. He came out and got one of those Apple's grants, man, and opened him up a business out there. He's doing some great food options. I ended up with the gumbo, which was, again, it was really, really good. The seasoning level was right for me, and it was just a really good dish. Also had the shrimp po'boy. Shrimp po'boys for me, man, is all about the bread, like how good the bread is and how accurate it is for it to really be a true South Louisiana po'boy. And he crushed it, man. He got like that classic French bread, got a little bit of crustiness on the outside and soft and billowy on the inside. So great sandwich, great gumbo. Highly recommend that place. Next up for me, food-wise, was Siegel's 1941, which opened up in El Cortez this past Monday. And it was just a cluster something there. From the service to the food, it was just all not good. I ended up with a ribeye, and it was just a grisly mess. And the waitress that was supposedly, at my table went on her break. And so I didn't really see anybody after my food arrived. So can't really give that place anything but 4 marks across the board, and can't really recommend it. But Vegas was really good. And I look forward to getting back out there for a bit. And love the show. And hope you guys are well. Take care.
All right. Thanks for the report. I would imagine he'll be talking more about that on the Denton, Dallas, and Beyond podcast, which he co-hosts. Sorry to hear that Siegel's 1941 wasn't very good. I'm hoping it was just an opening weekend or opening week, you know, wrinkle and that they get their shit together.
Yeah, because if it's bad all over, I mean, that's their main restaurant now.
That's
so
what they've got, yeah.
Yeah. And Rue knows Cajun food, so.
Yes, he does.
I trust his opinion on the po' boy place.
Yep, I have to check it out.
Yep, and I'm very sad that we missed him.
He trips over lap, but not by much, so we didn't get to see him. All righty, next up.
Tim and Michelle. This is Bookham Dano from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just calling in a little trip report. Went out to Las Vegas for my 50th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Usually when we go, we're kind of middle-of-the-road kind of people. We like staying at, like, Monte Carlo, New York. You know, lower-end properties, you know, just kind of middle-of-the-road. This time, for my 50th, we decided to stay at the Bellagio. Always liked the place, just couldn't see forking out the money to stay there, rather spend the money on gambling. But first time in Vegas in 3 years, and went to my M Life account, which I haven't logged into forever, and they had a deal for the Bellagio for $99 a night, plus a $75 gambling credit and a $25 resort credit. So that was nice. So we get out there. I decided I had it in my head. I'm going to do the $20 trick. I've never tried it before. I'm like, we're going to do it. And we get in line and I go, we don't want to get any person that has a manager standing over their head. And I go, if they point us that way, we're going to fumble in our wallet and we act like we're confused about the person behind us. Though. So we get there, get in line. I pretty much made no bones about it. I'm like, here's my credit card. Here's my driver's license. This $20 is for you, my friend. Anything you can do for me to help me out. It's my 50th birthday. I'd like a great view of the fountains. And we booked our room. It was just a city view room. He got us a great room on the 19th floor, spa tower, overlooking the fountain. It was beautiful, so it worked like a charm. Later that day, we also had a box of chocolates in our room. I don't know if that's standard or that was part of me giving the guy $20, but it worked out great.
Lovely.
Room itself at the Bellagio, fantastic. You know, it had the big old glass shower, big old tub. Like I said, a great view. The place itself is over the top. We were a little worried when we first, you know, when we first made our reservations that it was going to be too hoity-toity for us. And my girlfriend was more worried about that because we're more bar and grill type of people. But actually, it wasn't. It was very nice. We really enjoyed it. Just it smells good when you just walk around there. It's just got a great feel to it. The greatest thing is when we walked in the room, girlfriend opened up the mini bar. Look at what's in here. She started pulling things out left and right. And I'm like, stop, don't touch anything. And she's like, why? And I go, we probably just got charged for everything in the mini bar. So we went downstairs to get the $75 gambling credit. And the girl's like, oh, it already looks like you used your food credit. She goes, looks like you charged $37 to the mini bar. And I just started laughing. I'm like, nope. But they were really nice. Took that off right away. She actually said it happens all the time. We didn't do that well gambling there, but I'll tell you what, of all the properties we gambled at, we kind of spread our money out. We got a lot of free drinks, and I was really surprised about that. I'm like, we're staying at the Bellagio. We're probably not even going to see a waitress. We probably had more free drinks there than anywhere else. So the wait staff was really good. Another thing we enjoyed there was Hyde, the club there that you can go in from 5 to 9. We went in there, saw a couple fountain shows, very relaxing. It was actually one of my favorite things of the trip, just going in there, hanging out. I had never done that before, and I think I heard you guys talk about that, so thanks, because I would never have done that without there.
I recommend that. That's that's a cool place to see the fountains from.
Yeah, we thought about doing that this time, and again, never made it over.
We did spend quite a bit of time at Bellagio, though, because we had friends staying there. We didn't play there, but we hung out quite a bit, and
it was nice.
It was nice. Yeah, I really like it. You know what? We never made it through the conservatory either, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. We spend a ton of time there and never even... That's another thing. We usually will walk through there if we do nothing else.
Yeah.
But yeah, we never did that. There will be a very entertaining, I would imagine. I haven't read it, but I'm assuming it'll be entertaining because Mikey, everything he writes is entertaining. But a review of a tremendous suite that we had a chance to see at Bellagio.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a little bit of a treat. So I won't go into details on that because that's Mike. Mikey's story to tell, but keep an eye on Vegas Tripping. I know that he's working on that. But yeah, Bellagio, you know, it's still quite a great place.
And the renovations they've done, they've tried to keep their rooms up to date. Mm-hmm. And from what we saw.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also in the back, people don't know something we never knew existed. It was behind the gardens. There's that pastry shop, and there's the world's largest chocolate fountain. Anything that's world's largest, you got to see. One thing we found that was pretty interesting, too, they had a placard on the wall, kind of on the side of the fountain, which you can't see because they had a stand in front of it. It was like 26 feet tall, has all the stupid facts about it. Not going to bore you with it, but look for it. It has all sorts of interesting things there. Some other things we did on the strip, we did go to the Monte Carlo pub for happy hour. I just got their pub beer. It was like $3. And actually, it was pretty good. They had other beers that were like a buck or two more. But I just said, I'll try it. And I was actually surprised. It was good. We also had the spinach and artichoke dip. Not good at all. It was like eating grass in paste. And service there was not too good either. The guy, the bartender, I think, forgot that he had to wait on people. And it wasn't only us. The people sitting around us were noticing that, too. Other things here before this phone call gets too long. I know you don't like long phone calls. Went to Giada for breakfast. We had the best view in the house. They put us at that center table right at the tip of the restaurant, the windows. Awesome view. The meal itself, we went there for breakfast. It was good, but it wasn't great. And for the price you pay, it wasn't a cheap breakfast. But the view was great. I don't know if I'd go back there, at least for breakfast anyway. But, yeah, just got to experience it. Couple other quick things. Went to the Link a few times. Very impressed with that. And we went to Guy Fieri's. I know you're not a fan. We just think he's okay, but we're walking by there and we're hungry. They had a late night special. They had fireball-infused chicken wings. It was like only like $7 and you got this huge bucket of wings. It was awesome. They also had fireball shots for like $5. And then they had some, I think just domestic drafts for like $4 for a pint. So that was a good deal. We were actually impressed with that, especially since we're kind of hungry. And last thing here, the Ferris wheel. We got like a Groupon for that. There's always Groupons. And we did the late night Groupon happy hour. And we actually enjoyed it quite a bit. It was fun. I think we had a great car. Our car was only half full, but everybody in there was in a nice party mode. Second the door slammed, you know, waitress is like, all right, here we go. Inside managed, you know, get the drinks down, did the shot at the top of the wheel, got off of it. And I said, you know what? That was actually a lot better than I expected. Don't know if I would do it again, but I wouldn't leave it off my list. Just, you know, it was a lot of fun. But other than that, we spent 3 days on the strip. We spent a couple days downtown. I'm going to break that into a second phone call. And love you guys. Love you, Tim. Love you, Michelle. You guys are awesome. yeah, I'll call back with our report for downtown. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the report. We do appreciate it. The fireball wings at Guy Fieri's have gotten consistently good reviews. Mm-hmm. So I'm unlikely to go and try them. But if you're into wings, that might be a place to go and try. So, yes. There you go. Thanks for the report.
Did you just endorse Flavortown?
I'm saying in the same way that many people have enjoyed the volcano nachos at Margaritaville.
Yes.
I'm not interested in going to Margaritaville. However, if you're really into nachos, probably a place to go. I like to pass along information, even though it's not something that I'm necessarily interested in.
That's very kind of you.
I know.
You perform a public service.
I'm a curator of Vegas information.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A couple more calls. Let's check in again with Sean.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Sean from Indy. And just got home, wrapped up our trip from Vegas, and had a great time. For our last night, we actually had reservations at Tom Colicchio's Heritage Steakhouse. But we had such a good time at downtown the night before. We decided to call an audible and head downtown. Went to Carson's Kitchen, which we read about on the site, and also heard about on the podcast and absolutely loved it. Had the cheese fondue, which was excellent. Had the watermelon salad, which was absolutely amazing. My wife is actually trying to find a way to mimic that at home. And also had the tacos, and all three dishes were amazing. The staff was great. And then we just, you know, walked up and downtown, walked up and down the street, Fremont, did a little bit of gambling in a lot of different casinos. We actually really liked Golden Gate, which I hadn't been there in years, but I loved the Prohibition makeover they've done. The dealers are really nice. And just had a great time downtown. Even stopped in the plaza and played some craps there, and had once again horrible cocktail service, but the guys running the craps table were great. Overall, we had a phenomenal trip. We did not come anywhere close to winning. You know, had a couple up sessions, but mostly down. But overall, we just had a sensational time. I think the thing we would say is that we will probably stay downtown next time, at either downtown Grand or the D, and probably not frequent Caesars Entertainment anymore. So that's it. Thanks for helping us plan our trip, and can't wait to go back again soon.
Glad you had a good time.
Yes.
That's a good example of, in Vegas, all plans are tentative.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And why not? You had a really good time doing something, and even though you had reservations, it's like, you know what? I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Fine. Go do more of that. That's what's awesome. Very cool. Glad you had a good time. Calls like that make me happy. Mm-hmm. I just love when people call and they're like, I just had a great fucking time. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not even that, like, he did any huge monumental things. It's just like, you know what? Wandering around Fremont Street, playing some craps, playing mm-hmm. some stuff at Golden Gate, and just had a really fun time.
Yep. And had a good meal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Last caller.
Yes, this is Professor Guy Gabois. And if that Twitter handle ever becomes available, it will be mine. It's 2:12 a.m. on Fremont Street. And walking back from the Golden Gate, I have been hit on by a hooker for the first time since the infamous or famous Glenna Ho incident. And also gone into the D bathroom and heard Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. I suck at life and I win at life at the same time.
All right. Thanks for calling, Mark. We appreciate it.
Weren't those the calls that you were offered money to not use?
You know, there were two other calls from Mark, too, but they were like either butt dials or hang-ups or some sort of malfunction. So I'm not exactly sure. Those weren't that bad. There was no need to pay me to not use those. They were fine.
Mm-hmm. They were fun.
Yep. All right.
Do you want to talk about the infamous Planet Ho incident?
Oh, yeah. Mark and I were at Planet Hollywood. Actually, that was a couple years ago. I was playing at Planet Hollywood, and a prostitute came up to me and propositioned me, and like a couple minutes later, I hit a royal flush or four deuces or some significant hand.
Yeah.
So she became my lucky hooker. And then a few minutes later, I ran into Mark and we were talking, and she and a friend came up, and one of them propositioned Mark and kind of put her hands on him, and I think he boiled himself afterwards. It was not a good sight.
But they weren't lucky for him.
Apparently not. I'm not aware of any
jackpots
that followed that. Right. But yeah. Anyway, thank you as always to all of the callers. Mm-hmm. We're right in about an hour. Do we want to talk about anything from our trip?
I don't know. I'm sad for disappointing people, but I
want to hold off.
I want to save it for next week.
Yeah, we'll cover everything next week. Let's do that. All right. Before we go, we have our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. Shot glass roulette drinking game. Why not? It's like a roulette wheel, but it has shot glasses, so you can fill them with different substances, and then, you know. And it's only $12. I like this item. Actually, I saw this in Las Vegas when we were there. Bally's has this little alcove that sells, like, it's right by the poker room, and they sell, mm-hmm. like, different poker supplies and stuff. And I saw this, and I'm sure it was more than $12. I didn't price it, but I was amused to see that for sale right there in Bally's. I will link to it in the show notes, as always. Thanks to everybody who clicks through our Amazon.com link before buying stuff there. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. A few thank yous for our Karma donations this week as well. Karma and other donations. Sweepstakes Guru. This is the post-trip non-karma, the random number generator was kind anyway donation.
Thank you. Nice.
Yep, we appreciate that. Ian with a Karma donation for a trip wrapping up this weekend. He was hoping to avoid the Electric Daisy Carnival crowd.
Ooh.
That's the big music festival in town this weekend.
Thanks, and I hope you were able to do that.
Good luck with that. It kind of overruns the city, but looks like crazy fun for those who are there for that. Mm-hmm. Chris and Karen with a Karma donation for an upcoming cruise to Iceland and Norway.
Nice.
They're hoping that the tables at sea are lucky, and they thanked us for the podcast.
Well, thank you, and I hope the tables are lucky also.
We appreciate that. Kenny in Tulsa with a karma donation for a quick trip that happened last weekend. Ooh, hope thanks. That went well
hope
for you.
Hope you did well.
David with a karma donation, bucking the strip for downtown luck this trip.
Ooh, thanks.
Hope you have a good time.
Downtown.
Melissa and John from Minneapolis, karma for John's 40th birthday trip over the 4th of July.
Well, happy early birthday. Yay. Hope you have a great time and thanks.
What a great way to celebrate.
Yes.
Mark, thanks for all the entertainment between annual July Vegas. Why am I reading like this? I do not know. thanks for all the entertainment between annual July Vegas golf trips. They leave on July 11th. Hope you have a great time,
yes,
Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Rob and CB Harry from Maryland. Now, when I read this, I'm like, is CB Harry, is he into like Citizens Band Radio from the 70s?
I don't know.
Anyway, maybe. Karma for our trip next weekend. Ooh, hope you have a great time.
Thank you. Good luck.
And finally, Eddie and Julie, a karma donation for their nine-year anniversary trip.
Yay.
And they're going to see Brooks and Dunn. And I would love...
And Reba?
I believe Reba is part of that show. I think that just opened this week. I'd love a review of that.
Yes.
Tell us if it was a good show.
Well, thank you and happy anniversary.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, so much for supporting the podcast. We do appreciate it. It means a lot to us. As always, you can find show notes, links, other stuff at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. 500@gmail.com is the place for that. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, we'd love to hear from you on our voicemail line. 702-866-9494 is the number. Next week, we will provide a complete and thorough wrap-up of our trip and all of our exciting activities. Thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for not getting too twitchy during our week off. I did have a couple emails of concern.
Yeah.
Yes. People get a little nervous when we're off, you know, and I might have like, shit out another kidney or something. Everything is well. Everyone's healthy.
Good.
All right. As always, thank you so much for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back next week with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.